Let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to stop in the middle of everything and to gather with you and to pray. Gosh, I can feel sometimes the power of this prayer in a very tangible, very palatable way. You know, when two or more are gathered, I believe Christ is present. And I think this is a prayer that God gave us for this moment in time. I pray my rosary every day. I have that prayer in my left hand, and I pray the chaplet in my right. You know, I pray these prayers, and they move the heart of God. So I really want to pray today for you, for your needs. I have a friend. He's going into surgery tomorrow. A really good and holy man. And I just want to lift him up. I want to ask the divine physicians to guide the hands of those surgeons for him and bring him healing. But yeah, he reached out to me today, too. He sent me a text, and he said to me, he says, "Hey, Drew, I appreciate your prayers." He says, you know, could you pray in particular for caregivers, for loved ones of the sick and the infirmed in general? And they're often the ones very much affected by illness, kind of the sort of collateral damage left to the loss and the suffering, you know, without the scars to show for it. And it's so true. Those caregivers, the wives and husbands, the children, they are collateral damage. I mean, yeah, you don't have the physical scars. You're not going through the recovery. You know, you didn't go through the ordeal, but you suffer in your own way. And the emotional and psychological stress, the anxiety that often wells up, it can be difficult when you face times of trial. So I want to pray for that particular intention. I want to pray for you, too. I want to pray for the homebound. It often strikes me, you know, God works in weird ways. So often the elderly feel like they're a burden. And maybe you feel that way. Maybe you're sick. Maybe somebody's got to take care of you. Maybe you can't get around. Maybe you rely on somebody for rides. You feel like you are a burden. What you really are is a conduit for God's grace and mercy, because you are enabling someone else to be merciful, right? To take care of you, to show mercy. And what a wonderful blessing that is. So don't look at yourself through the lens of being a burden. Look at yourself as being a blessing. God uses our circumstances, you know, regardless of what they are. And Laura, if you are praying with me today, I'm lifting you up in a particular way. I know how difficult your situation is right now, so I want to pray for you. Maggie's going to be praying with me today. Maggie, anything you want to lift up and pray for as we begin?
Sure, Drew. You know, something that Monsignor Pope said on the broadcast yesterday has been in my brain ever since. He said something to the effect of, if we ever stop saying the Easter proclamation of, "I have seen the Lord," we have stopped being the church. And so I my prayer is that each one of us can really take that to heart and know that God is here, he's alive with us, and that we've seen him.
How beautiful. Monsignor Pope, I always love his insight and his wisdom as well.
He's so wise.
He certainly is. Maggie, we're praying for your intention, too. I know that you voiced one last week, and we'll continue to bring that before
Thanks,
the
Drew.
Lord, too. And let me share, I guess, the meditation for today, rather than share answered prayers. And thank you for sending them in. Keep them coming. Drew at relevantradio.com, put answered prayer and tell me how it works. Today is day 5. And the Lord says, "Today, bring to me the soul of those who have separated themselves from my church and immerse them in the ocean of my mercy. During my bitter passion, they tore at my body and my heart. That is my church. As they return to unity with the church, my wounds heal, and in this way, they alleviate my passion." That's diary entry 1218. Our prayer and response, most merciful Jesus, goodness itself, you do not refuse light to those who seek it of you. Receive into the abode of your most compassionate heart the souls of those who separated themselves from your church, and draw them by your light into the unity of the church, and do not let them escape from the abode of your most compassionate heart. Bring it about that they too come to glorify the generosity of your mercy. That's diary entry 1219, the following one, written by St. Faustina. So I love these reflections that we have. They come from the diary itself. We're in a 9-day novena leading up to the Feast of Mercy, and the Lord himself asked for this novena and specifically gave to St. Faustina the intentions were to pray. I don't really know of any other novenas where Jesus himself prescribed exactly the souls he wants to pray. So I want to pray in a big way for unity within the church, that the schisms, the divisions, the confusions, the separation, that can be healed and mended. And I do want to pray on a more intimate way for those that have lost their faith, who've grown lukewarm and tepid, and those who have left the church altogether, especially those NONESs, those who don't feel they need organized religion. And let's bring them to the Lord. I want to pray for you now, too. So we'll begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we will take our first call today from San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio. Trip, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you today?
Hey, all right.
Well, my brother-in-law, he's been having some health issues. He's a devout Catholic. I'm not, but he's got me to go to Mass this last three Sundays, and so I'm going to take the RCI classes.
All right, that's great.
And he's struggling with this issue in his lungs, and some of it spread to his heart. And tomorrow, he's back in the hospital, and tomorrow they're going to shock his heart.
Wow, that's some serious stuff.
Yes, I'm very, very scared because we're really close.
Yeah, well, look, here's the thing. Do not be afraid. Do not grow despondent. Put your trust in God, Trip. The Lord's working in your soul, and I want you to know that. I mean, you're getting this grace to come and to learn more about the Catholic faith. You'll be able to receive the sacraments, and I'm telling you what, it'll transform your spirituality, your relationship with God. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. So I want to pray for you today, especially on this intention that we started this show with. But I also want to pray for your brother in particular. Just want to lift him up, your brother-in-law, actually, and give him to the Lord. Let's ask God for complete healing. God's generous. He doesn't deny his grace to anyone. I really do believe that Lord hears our prayers. I have no doubt in my mind that God can certainly heal those lungs. So let's go before the Lord now, and let's just give him all those who face surgery, medical procedures, those who are having respiratory problems, pulmonary issues, those who are having cardiac issues. Lord, I just want to give you all of those souls. I bring them to you. I immerse them in the ocean of your mercy. And I just trust in you. So I pray for a miracle on behalf of Trip, this man who's walking to you now, Lord, and I ask you to embrace him. So we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, and Trevor, I just want to say to you, brother, keep trusting. All right, Padre Pio, he was a Catholic priest who had the wounds of Jesus Christ. And he was a Capuchin, and he would say, pray, hope, and don't worry, because worry is useless. St. Faustina says the same thing. You know, the more a soul trusts, the more it receives. God is merciful. He hears your prayers. Prayer is the best weapon we have. It's the key to God's heart. So let's continue to pray in these difficult moments. That's really when, you know, we pronounce the greatest love for God, when we're faithful and we trust him. Gabriella in New Mexico, good afternoon. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call, Doom. Yes, I'm asking for prayers for my granddaughter, Janaea, continued healing for her. She suffers from leukemia. And for my great-grandsons, Lincoln and Maverick, they are facing surgery. They're only a year old. Oh. And for my daughter, Lisa, who's always sick. And for me, I'm facing a procedure tomorrow.
Wow.
And I'm asking for prayers that everything is all turns mm-hmm. out good. It's my stomach.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that they find nothing seriously wrong. And for my friend Adam, who had eye surgery. And for Mabel.
Okay. Gabriella, let me just thank you for your call, okay? And again, there's a current that runs through this program, and today we started with upcoming procedures and surgeries and operations and testing, and I really believe the Lord's going to bring about great results, and I want to hear back from you. I want to hear how the Lord responded to your prayers, and Lord, I just give you right now this operation. Intervene now and let the results, let the test, let whatever procedure comes back, let it be a real answer to prayer. Gabrielle listed so many different intentions up. I just give them to you. I give you all, again, who face operations, who are waiting test results, who are undergoing procedures, who are now in recovery. I give you the body with its aches and its pains, the mysteries of some of these ailments. We just ask for your healing, your merciful touch as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from... Maggie, let's get the Twitter intentions in. I almost skipped by those.
Yeah, that sounds good, sure.
That's great, because I know a lot of people who can't get through on the phones... If you want to put your intentions at Drew Mariani Show, that's our Twitter handle. Please follow me also at Drew Mariani. It's good to have you. Good to stay in touch with you. I'll try to send some stuff up. But we want to, Maggie will go and monitor your, you know, all your intentions that come in here and bring them to our prayer team here. So what's coming in today, Maggie?
We got a note from Joseph in Minnesota saying, we're praying that all criminal charges against our son are dropped and that he receives the behavioral health services that will restore his mental health. Yeah. And please, God, end his suicidal ideations.
Pray for that.
Marcelina wrote to us and said, please pray for my husband, Robert. He has eye surgery at 4:30 this afternoon. Bernadette wrote to us and said, I'm so heartbroken due to my fiancé leaving me. I don't know how to handle it.
So sad.
Prayers for healing and for reconciliation. Ugh, that I felt so bad for. Tom wrote to us and said, please add me to your prayer list during the chaplet that the cancer that has moved to my bones will shrink and disappear. Bless you. And then lastly, I don't know if you remember yesterday, Drew, a father called in during the chaplet. His name was Father Edmund.
Yeah, sure. From New York or New Jersey?
New Jersey. He said, I called in yesterday to Drew for healing of Father Julio, who is in very critical condition.
Yeah, I remember that.
He says, thanks to all who prayed. His blood pressure has stabilized.
Praise God.
He's still in very critical condition. He is 43 and is the rector of the seminary in Brooklyn, New York, and is a wonderful priest. He said he still has an uphill battle, but please continue praying for his recovery.
Well, I'm just getting the sense he's going to recover.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I feel confident about that. Lord, I thank you for that. I'm no visionary, no mystic, but Lord, I just, with so many people praying, we give you this 43-year-old man, and by virtue of our prayers, may today be a turning point for him. May his health continue to increase, his strength, his vigor. May he be able to recuperate and be a real witness and a testimony of the power of this prayer. I do want to pray for those who are suffering emotionally today, especially those broken relationships. It can be very, very difficult when you give your heart to someone and then that comes to an end. So, Lord, I just ask you, heal those deep heart and soul wounds. Let you enter in. And you allow your mercy to be the balm, the remedy for those aches, for those pains, for those wounds. And again, so many attentions today for those who are sick, those who are facing operations, those who just are in need of your mercy. I give you every intention that Maggie's brought forward. And we bring Victoria into this intention as well. She's praying with us in Rockland, New York. Hi, Victoria.
Hello, Drew. Happy Easter.
Hey,
I want to pray. We need a miracle for my cousin, Luke. He has, I called him once before, pancreatic cancer. He went through the chemo and didn't work. And then after a while, they tried radiation to shrink it so they could operate. And then finally, they couldn't do that because the cancer is around the blood vessels. So he's back on chemo, and then Easter Sunday, he wound up in the hospital with a stroke. They pulled him out of it, though. Thank God we were praying and praying they pulled him out of it.
Amen.
But he's smiling now, but he needs an awful lot. He needs a miracle. And so does his wife, Dolores, my other cousin. She's been taking care of him. She needs a double knee operation. And things are, I mean, they're happy, they're religious, and they're the best. They really are the best.
Amen. Well, so, let's pray for it.
I'm asking for, please do. I love you guys. Thank you so much for what you do.
Yeah, Victoria, thanks for praying with us. I'm glad you're part of our family here. And look, we'll pray. I'm just sitting here, and how do you unlock the power of your prayer? It's prayer deep from within the heart, the soul that's got to cry out to God, and you have to have trust. You know, Padre Pio said, it's true that God's power will triumph over everything, but he says that a humble and a suffering prayer will prevail over God himself. I know so many, you're going through such a difficult time right now, battling cancer, battling relationship problems, struggling with finances, worrying about your kids. Lord, I just ask that the suffering prayer of this spiritual family here, of your children, will move and prevail over your heart, as Padre Pio said. So with trust, with confidence, we turn to your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. And we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Laura is praying in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. My prayer intention today is for my husband's aunt, Agnes, who entered into hospice yesterday and is stopping her treatments for cancer. And she's been a lifelong caregiver in nursing homes and hospitals as a nurse, and also a caretaker of my mother-in-law, who has severe dementia. And so I pray for a miracle. She's the closest thing to a saint that I've ever known. And so I am positive she's going to enter into God's kingdom. But I pray for her husband, her two daughters, and her grandchildren, and her extended family. Also for my mother-in-law with severe dementia, and for my oldest son, who has rejected the Catholic faith the last 2 years. And also for my other aunt, who is also my confirmation sponsor, who has severe dementia, among other health issues. Thank you, Drew.
You got it. Laura, thank you. We'll pray for your son. I want to pray for anyone with dementia. I want to pray in particular, Lord, for those who are approaching the hour of death. We all will turn to your loving embrace. And I just pray for these souls who love you so much. If it's your will, I ask for an extension of life, just for those that are on this side of the veil, Lord. But if it's the hour of reckoning, the hour of your mercy, I just ask you come and you meet these souls in a special way. That you come as a merciful Savior, that you usher them into eternal life. You show them the mansion you have prepared for them. And I pray for the hour of my own death and for all who I pray with now, that, Lord, you'll give us the grace to be faithful to you, to be worthy of you. I give you everyone of Laura's intentions, all those who now pray with me as we turn to you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Bob. He's praying with us in Philadelphia. Hey, Bob, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew, thanks for taking my call. My prayer intentions are for an acquaintance of mine, who sells used cars, a great guy, in spite of the reputation that most used car salesmen get.
Yeah.
This guy is just, he's top of the heap. Just, he's the kind of guy, if you sold you a bad car, he'd buy it back.
Wow, that's awesome.
Just by coincidence, I bought a car from him this past weekend. And his wife has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. It's not good. You know, he's kind of broken up about it. And it's hard to see a guy. I'm not real close to the guy. He's just an acquaintance. He's just a gem. He really is. He's just a gem. And to see him all broken up and, you know, they have a 20th anniversary coming up in the fall in like October and you know, doesn't look like they're going to get there. So I understand God's will is going to be done.
Amen.
Whatever, either a miracle or not, if we could just pray for Paul and for his wife, Frances, for whatever the outcome is, that would be great.
Well, I love your spirit, Bob. Thank you for calling, and this friend is very lucky to have you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for all of your particular intentions and needs as well. But Lord, I do pray for this wife with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. I want to pray for all the intentions that Bob brought forward. I want to give you his heart too. I know he has many. He didn't really ask for anything personally. And I come before you with so many faithful here, Lord. I ask for miracles. I don't want to limit those intentions in the least bit, but I want to pray with the faith of the apostles, with the friends who lowered their friend through the roof so your healing touch could restore and bring healing. Those who were cured of blood diseases and blindness, Lord, those who you raised from the dead, give us that faith, Lord. And today, let this be a time of abundant healing and miracles and answered prayers and new beginnings. I just gather all united with me now with this intention. We pray for your will, of course, to be done and the grace to follow it and to carry our crosses. But at the same time, Lord, I pray with faith, trust, and confidence that you'll astound us with your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Saint Padre Pio,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hey, stay with me. When we come back, I'll be joined by a Catholic priest who has this desire to spread God's divine mercy, and he produces beautiful divine mercy videos. I want to play a couple of them. I'm going to take some passages from the Diary of Faustine. I don't know if you, I always enjoy talking about these nuggets of wisdom and insight that St. Faustine has given us about God. I'll share some of those, and we'll unpack them when we return.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
One evening as I was in prayer, I heard God's voice.
Tell all souls where a great miracle of mercy takes place. It is in the confessional. Every time you go to confession, immerse yourself totally in my mercy, so that I may pour immense graces upon your soul. When you approach the confessional, know this, that I myself am waiting for you. I am only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. Here, the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy.
Yes, my Lord, I will.
Tell souls to come to confession. This is my fountain of mercy. My blood and water, which came from my heart, always flows down upon souls and restores them to their original beauty of being in my grace. Tell souls to come to this miracle of grace, and I will fill their souls with a deep peace that only I can give them when they come to me with a repentant heart and trust in my mercy.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Those are powerful words, of course, from our Lord. He revealed them to Saint Faustina, and I know you know how much I love this saint. I think she's one of the greatest saints of the past millennia, really. I mean, she's a powerhouse. She was the first saint of the third millennia. John Paul II canonized her, making her as much. And the Lord revealed her, chose her, a girl with a third grade education, right, to deliver a message to the world. In my book, I actually wrote a little bit about this. I mean, here's this girl with a third grade education, right? And the Lord commissions her to put on the church calendar the great feast of divine mercy. How do you do that, right? You're in a convent in Poland. There are millions of Catholics around the world. How can you achieve such, you know, such goals, such aims? You know, the Lord wanted her to spread this message of mercy. It's now the fastest grassroots movement in the history of the church, the Divine Mercy devotion. And St. Faustina did that, as we know, in John Paul on, it was April 30th in the year 2000, during her canonization, she surprised the world, making the Feast of Mercy. We'll talk much more about it a little bit later in the week. Put it on the official church calendar. And it's a day in which the floodgates of God's mercy are open. But again, she's one of these great saints in her humility. If you don't know her background, just very briefly, I mean, she always had this call to God. When she was a young child, she felt this desire to go to religious life. And she'd attempt to go to Mass as often as she could. She'd even get up early. Her father would say, "You got to do your chores first." She'd get up early to do her chores just so she could get to church. You know, and eventually, as she grew older, you know, the desire was still there, but her parents needed her. She was older. She ended up working in for a wealthier home in Poland there in town, so she could earn income and help the family. And she was at a dance one day when time seemed to stop, and the Lord appeared to her. He appeared beaten and bloody and bruised. And he said to her, he said, "Helen," that was her name, "Helen, how long must I put up with you? How long will you keep putting me off?" And she says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And we told her to go to Warsaw to enter a convent. And there she did, with a third grade education, was a doorkeeper, gardener. But in the days ahead, the Lord would appear to her, giving her this incredible devotion, this beautiful devotion to divine mercy. You know, Faustina would end up recording all these in the diary, six notebooks, 600 pages, no corrections, no erasures. Lord gave her about 82 different revelations, 1,800 teachings, and so much more. She chronicles all these encounters with the Lord and with angels and saints and so much more. She died at the age of 33 years of age. She prophesied the canonization. She prophesied so much, the rise of the Second World War, and so many things that came to pass. And today we have that treasure, and I'm joined by a man who's made it his mission. He wrote a book on divine mercy, and he's written books on the Eucharist and all sorts of things. His name is Father Stephen Lesniewski, and he's just a heroic priest who understands the power of using the media, the internet, print to evangelize. He was the executive producer of a film called To Be Born. It was a letter from an aborted child. Very powerful stuff if you've never seen that. But he's been with me. He just got done producing a battery of these short little videos on the life of Faustina. You heard the first one today on confession, and we'll talk about that. But he's produced a number of them that if you want to learn more, get little snapshots of this beautiful devotion, I'll get you connected to him and how you can see him and maybe how you can share those with others. Father, good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Good to be here with you, Drew. I'm so happy. It's on my favorite topic, Divine Mercy. It's the greatest thing you could talk about.
Yeah, mine too. I love it. Before we start, just put into perspective for a lot of, like, this is a new devotion to many people, or many are just now beginning to learn about the life of St. Faustina and the revelations of our Lord. If people want to see the videos or they want to get connected, they want to learn more, what's the best way to do that?
Yes, you could go online. You could get on first. You could go, it's called mercyclips.com. And then you could also go to also the playdarosie.com. There's some up on there too, you could see. So either way, you could get that. There are 22 clips altogether. So we're going to put more and more on eventually. So, if you like it, make sure you put like on it so we could share it and get it out to as many people as we can. So we might spread the divine mercy throughout the whole world, as you know.
All right, so mercyclips.com. Let's do this. I want to play some of these that you've produced. I mean, the video is beautiful, but the audio also holds up really well. We just shared that powerful exchange with the Lord and Faustina regarding the tribunal of mercy, the sacrament of reconciliation. It's something I think far too Catholics use. We need to do it much more. And, you know, when you hear what the Lord has to say, it takes away all fear and trepidation about going, because he says he's only hidden by the priest, that he's truly there, and the soul is restored in full in that encounter. Talk to us a little bit about what the Lord said to St. Faustina there.
Well, it's incredible, beautiful. He said that, I mean, you can remember when Lazarus, when he died, people didn't want to go to even the tomb because they thought, you know, we open it up, it's going to stink, it's going to be beyond, you know, recognition, it's going to be, you know, bloated already. And he said also in 1448, I mean, he used, I guess, the analogy, he said, even if a decaying corpse, so that from a human standpoint, all would be lost of the rest of being restored. Everything would already be lost. But he said, it's not so with God. He said, the miracle of divine mercy restores that soul in full. He said, so it's unbelievable. It's almost like brings back from death. You know, death, of course, you know, when you commit a grave sin, we call that, you know, a mortal sin. But it brings it back to life, the full grace of baptism. So it's unbelievable, beautiful. It's like death back to life. And it brings it completely back with God's great love and forgiveness, where there's no punishment but pure mercy.
I absolutely love it. Yeah, Father, so many people fear going in confession. What I love is the fact that he says he's hidden. He's truly there. You know, he's only hidden behind the screen, behind the priest, if you will. And even if you were a decaying corpse, as you pointed out, you know, in the case of Lazarus, your soul would be restored in full. Why do you think it is today that so few people go there? I don't understand. I know it can be humiliating. It's hard to confess your sins, your failings, your weaknesses, you know, your temptations.
Yeah.
Why do so few people use it?
I think it'd be a multiple reasons. First of all, because maybe people never experienced the grace of it. When I go to confession, it's like when I leave, it's like I'm walking on clouds. It's like, you know, Lord, take me now. Yeah. I'm so happy.
Amen.
And I think so people don't have the experience of confession. It's unbelievable, powerful, the sacrament. And then so that's one reason. Other people's because maybe they're also afraid. They think their sins are so big that the God can't forgive them. And it, like you said, it's humility. It takes a lot of humility. You know, God says, Faustina says, if you really want to benefit from confession, you have to come with a humble heart, humble soul. He says, because if you come proudful, then God hides his grace from you. You can't receive it. So you have to be humble. It takes a lot of humility and a lot of grace to go. But it's a place of pure mercy, no of judgment, no of condemning. It's pure of blessing. You know, God's cleansing, God's mercy, God's, you know, pure love pouring to your heart, and his forgiveness and healing. So, and people don't know that. It's just incredible, powerful. It's so healing for them. So I think because of ignorance, because of maybe, who knows, maybe some experiences, or who, you know, it's some awful things. But I think a lot of it is because people also have fear, and they just don't know how powerful it is.
I want to say to anybody who's been away from the sacrament, who's not gone, or maybe had a bad experience. I lived next to a woman father who she had an abortion. This was years ago. And eventually she goes to confession. Anyway, she goes back and she had a bad experience. She felt like the priest chastised her. Maybe it wasn't charitable. I don't really know what went on. That was her perspective. And maybe maybe she misinterpreted what the priest was saying. But it drove her away from church for a long time. So my wife and I eventually meet her. And then we encourage her to go back to confession. And, you know, she met a priest there that just touched her in such a deep and personal and profound way. She had a radically different experience. And just want to say to anybody who is separated from the sacrament, maybe you had a bad experience or, you know, you don't want to go. It'll be the greatest thing you've ever done. We got the Feast of Mercy coming up this Sunday, as you know, too, Father. So the Lord asks for reception of the Eucharist and confession on that day. And if you do that, you know, there's that extraordinary promise of divine mercy that everyone will get plugged into. So we could talk more about that. But let me take a break. When we come back, let's play another clip, too. And we'll take a few calls. If you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. In fact, I'll play one I know that is very close to your heart, Father, and one that could profoundly affect that girl I was just talking about. When we come back, I'll play that, and we'll talk more. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
One day I went to the Lord and prayed in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But suddenly, I had such violent pains in my body, and I had to go to bed at once. One of the sisters gave me medicine from the doctor, but none could help me. Whatever I was given, I threw up. The pain was so great in my body that at times I lost consciousness. While I was suffering, Jesus made me realize I was taking part in his agony in the garden. In reparation to God for the mothers who murder their children in their womb, and interiorly, I heard him speak these words.
My daughter, please keep offering your sufferings for the conversion of these confused mothers who are deceived by the devil and are in despair and take the lives of their children.
Yes, Lord, I will. If I could only save one baby from death and help a mother to repent from her sin and trust in your great mercy for her, I would gladly offer all my sufferings of my whole life.
Faustina, you are not living for yourself, but for others who will profit from your sufferings. Your suffering will give them the light and strength to accept my will. Please tell all mothers who have aborted their babies, there is no sin greater than my mercy, for I am love and mercy itself.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I always love that. I am love and mercy itself. Good afternoon. It's good to be with you today. That is a clip produced by a beautiful Catholic priest, Father Stephen Lesneski, and he is with me today. If you want to check these out, by the way, I don't know how many he's done, 20-something of them, maybe more. You can go to Mercy. I want to make sure I get that website right. MercyClips.com, right, Father? MercyClips.com?
Yeah, www.mercyclips.com.
Yeah, all right. That's such a powerful testimony, too. And, you know, the chaplet's origin came as a result of an angel wrath going to destroy a city. Many people believed it was the portion capital of the world. And as you know as well, St. Faustina suffered quite often these incredible pains of abortion. Share with us a little bit more.
Well, first, a little bit about the clip that we just heard about abortion. Mm-hmm. I go up front of the clinics, as you know, and I pray my rosary and we counsel girls who are about to abort the baby, and praise God, many change. But after talking through many of them, majority of them have been, you know, been terribly abused, have been given no faith, and so they're hurting inside. And as every abortion has occurred, it's no doubt from the devil. And so the devil deceives them and despairs them. And then the girls who have an abortion, when I talk to them, They feel like God can't forgive them. They feel like they're cut off from their child. They feel like when they die, the child's going to point the finger at them and condemn them. And so they're in despair, incredible. The devil first tells you to do evil, and then he tells you that God's mercy is not there. And so, as we know, he's a liar. He's the murderer and the liar. There's a story, and let me say the words, this beautiful, a little thought about conversion of a girl who gets God's mercy. She said, these are the words she said. She goes, I learned about divine mercy from a friend. My healing came one night. I was crouched on the floor in the bathroom. I kept saying, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. I felt like I climbed on the cross with Christ. But instead of feeling pain, I felt this warm rush go through me. There are no words to describe what I felt. That in that moment, I know I was healed. And it was 15 years I was suffering after my abortion when this healing came and occurred. So these girls suffer for years and years and years, but how the divine mercy healed this girl just by praying, Lord, I trust in you. And our Lord says, the more you trust, he goes, my mercy is limited. Unlimited. It has no limit. So we have to continue, you know, to never judge or condemn people, because as we say, without the grace of God go I. And but to show God's mercy, and the, like you were saying, the power of the chaplet is unbelievable. The diary talks about how it stops storms and how powerful it is for people who are, you know, dying, and people who pray for those who are dying will receive God's mercy when you pray at the bedside. And it says if you just pray it one time, if priests teach the people just say it one time in their lives, it's the last tablet, the last possibility for salvation. I remember there was a guy, he was an abortionist at the clinic. He was there for 22 years out in Chicago. And he got cancer, he got sick, and praise God, I was able to find his address. I got to go to his house. Wow. We prayed the Chapel of Divine Mercy, and then after that, he wanted to go to confession. And then later I heard he had cancer. I mean, because of his cancer, he died about a month later. So God's mercy is unbelievable.
Wow. You're not kidding.
Unreal.
That's amazing. Well, let's do this. Let's grab a phone call or two for you. I know we only have you for a few minutes. If you want to get in, the number for you is 888-914-9149. That's good all day, okay? 888-914-9149. Joseph is listening at Edwards Air Force Base in California. He's got a question for you, Father. Hi, Joseph.
Oh, hi. Hi, Drew. Hi, Father. Thank you. I just wanted to ask you really quickly if you could, some way you could tie the divine mercy to someone who's having difficulty repenting. I know someone who was married for a long time, and his wife divorced him, and he misses that intimacy. He misses his children. And so he's really, he's kind of fallen, I guess, into the sin of adultery. So I was wondering if you could share some words that might tie God's mercy to help him repent and just kind of accept this cross of loneliness.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like anything in our lives, if we first get honest with ourselves and say, am I deeply at peace in my heart? Because God has given us a conscience. And so when we do wrong, if we take silence, take quiet, we feel in our heart there's not a deep peace there, because we know we're not united to God. No matter what we say, oh, I know I love God, or God's close to me, but deep inside our hearts convict us. So if he said, God, I'm not truly happy, even though I'm having my pleasure of my adultery, but there's no deep peace in myself, and I feel a hurt, that I'm away from God, I'm away from my wife, God, I want to be sorry, even hurting the woman I'm with now. And if he humbly says that, God's mercy will come to him, you know, and he's going to want to repent. But we want him to pray, you know, pray and say, God, help me, because sometimes it's like an addiction. Yeah. You can't get out of it. And so once you keep praying and praying, and finally you get strength and you go, I want to be released from this. And there's no peace without we do God's will and we repent. And so
right.
If he really wants peace, you could ask him the question, do you really want peace? Do you really want to be joyful, truly joyful? Do you want to truly go to heaven? And he suggests all these to say that we would have to really live our life and be sorry, because mercy is for everyone, but we have to really be sorry and want to change.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Father. Thank you, Drew. And I just wanted to say that was the most beautiful clip I ever heard about Jesus talking about the poor mothers who are deceived and have an abortion. I've never heard of Jesus saying that to a saint. So please keep promulgating that. That's just gorgeous.
No, you got it. Joseph, thank you. Yeah, my thoughts just for you is you speak to your friend too, and just to follow up on you, Father. The Lord told St. Faustina, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to his mercy, right? And the Lord says, if you put yourself completely in my care, you know, not only will I lavish these graces upon you, but he'll heal our deepest wounds. And the Lord said he has these flames that are just clamoring to be spent, and he wants to pour them out on souls, but souls don't believe in the goodness. And quite often, we don't want to drink from that bitter cup. I mean, that infidelity, I pray to God I never would know what that's like. I mean, how brutal that must be. But there's a value and a merit also in suffering. And that's what the Lord told St. Faustina, that if suffering souls knew how loved they were by God, you would die of joy, that someday when you stand before God, if you embrace that suffering, if you unite it to that of the Lord on the cross, that you will see the merit and the power of that. And the Lord, finally, one last thought here, just in terms of the suffering. He says, when you're in these situations, you just can't go on any further. You know, contemplate my wounds. Just meditate on my passion. You'll rise above all these things. Father, I only have about a minute left for you. I want to thank you for your wonderful work. And if people want to get it again, simply mercyclips.com if they want to see more.
Yes, www.mercyclips.com. And it's a book, there's a children's book on divine mercy and a regular for anyone else. Awesome. On stories and testimonies. And then what you're just saying too is that when we went through the Passion now, ended Easter, we realize when we sin, we all have a part and we hurt Jesus. So if he realizes he's hurt Jesus for his sins, and how God's merciful there. Mercies for him when he...
Father, maybe we'll bring you back. I know there's so many more videos, and I love these little nuggets of divine mercy. What a perfect week to do that. So maybe we'll talk more a little bit later in the weekend. That's Father Stephen. Say a prayer for him. I need to take a short break. I've got an important question to ask you when I come back. Stay with me.